Excellent. So bear with me. This is the first time I've ever taught from. Actually, we're doing electronic, stuff on the iPad. So trying to embrace technology. So I might stumble a little bit. But who would like to lead us in a word of prayer this morning? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, go ahead. Amen. Awesome. That was awesome. Is that TV on so we can do the video in a minute? Okay. So today we're going to teach. It's going to be a little different than probably what you're used to. We gave you some notebooks for those of you that want to take notes. Okay. And I'm going to reference a lot of Bible verses today. So don't worry about turning back and forth. They're going to pop up here on the screen. And then what you guys can do, you can just write down the verse or the where it's going to be at and go home and read on it later and study it. Okay. So today's lesson, we're gonna start doing things a little different. On Sundays, we're gonna start really plugging into the Word of God, and we're gonna start in the book of Matthew. Gary, Brent, and myself, we're gonna start teaching on Matthew. And so today's kind of just more of a topical teaching until we get that all prepared. So today's message is gonna be how to be a success with God, but it's gonna be how to be a success with God God's way. All right? So just think, if there was one famous person that you could spend time with, who would that person be? If you could spend time with one famous person, I know what you would say. Anthony Rizzo, huh? Anthony Rizzo, first baseman for the Cubs. But if you could spend time with one person, who would that person be? So we're going to watch a quick video, and then after this video, I want you to, we'll see who you really want to spend time with. So it's about a 2-minute video, and we'll watch it and we'll discuss some things. Next one. We're still sinners, right? And Jesus is the only one that was blameless. So today, I just hope that you get inspired while we do a teaching. And inspire, right, the definition of inspire is to guide or to arouse by divine influence, right? A lot of times there's things that inspire us, things that get us, motivated. But first and foremost, what is really going to start our success with God is our relationship with him. Do you really know who he is? Do you know Jesus? Do you know today, if you died today, right now, that you would spend eternity, do you know 100% that you would spend eternity in heaven with him? If you don't, afterwards, we'll pray with you and we'll show you how you could have eternal salvation, because that's really the most important aspect of anyone's life is salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity, right? And then second, we got to remember that we are going to face hard times, right? Jesus says that we will face tribulation, but be of good cheer because he will be with us. Right, John, in John 16:33, if you're taking notes, John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," right? So as teenagers, you guys are facing epidemic, things that are of a proportion that we didn't experience. Right, you guys understand as teenagers that life's not all sunshine and rainbows. You guys know, you guys are experiencing things, drug abuse at epidemic proportions, right? Teen pregnancies, suicides and murders that are a lot more than we ever experienced in life. So you guys have to understand that we have to get plugged into the Word. And hopefully through this message, you guys will take notes and then you can get back and go into them. Because as Christians, you guys are going to realize that we are not designed as Christians to fit in, right? A lot of you have experienced that, I know, because I've been in your shoes. I've been here. I went through Blue Ridge High School. I know exactly what a lot of you are going through. You guys do not fit in because we're not designed to fit in. We're designed to stand out. And you guys are going to learn this as you get a little older, that you're designed to stand out. So I want to share a story with you. Gil's been kind of teaching you on what the world's going to teach you, some of the people, professors, teachers that you're going to come across in college. Some of you are getting older, right, Ryan? You're getting ready to graduate and move on. You're going to start learning about people, and they're going to start influencing you, and university's going to start trying to influence you, but you got to stay strong in the Word, and this is why. So I want to share with you what you're going to be taught, what the world's teaching you about motivation and about your desires. So I'll share a story with you. It's a really cool story. I learned this a while ago. But there's this young man, he wanted to be really successful, and he meets this guru, and he says, I want to be on the same level you're on. I want to be successful, and I want to make lots of money, and I want to be famous. So the guru says, okay, if you want to be famous, you want to be successful, meet me here at the beach tomorrow at 4 a.m. So the kid says, man, the beach? He's like, no, I want to learn to be successful. I want to learn how to swim. I already know how to swim. Guru says, meet me at 4 a.m. tomorrow. So he gets there. Kid's all dressed up in a suit. He gets there. He's ready to go, man. He's like, I'm ready, man. Teach me. So the guru says, okay, how bad do you want it? And the kid says, man, I want it really bad. I want to be successful. I want to be wealthy. So the guru takes his hand, and they start walking into the water. And he's in a suit, and he gets up to his waist. He's like, well, this is weird. He tells the guru, I want to be successful. I don't want to learn how to swim, be a lifeguard. I want to learn how to make money. So the guru says, just trust me. Come on out a little bit further. So they get out there a little bit further. And now the water's up to his chest. And the kid's like thinking, man, this guy is crazy. This guru is making a lot of money. He's successful, but he's crazy. Right? So guru grabs his hand, takes him out a little bit further. And now the water's up to his mouth. And the guru says, how bad do you want? He says, man, I want it real bad. He goes, but I don't understand what you're doing. He says, you're crazy. And so just as the kid starts to leave back to the beach, the guru grabs him and he dunks him in the water. And the kid's fighting and he's scratching and he's clawing. And he's trying to get up and he doesn't know what to do. He's fighting for it. And right before the kid passes out, right, the guru lifts him up out of the water. And the guru says, I have one question for you. What is it that you wanted most in life when you were under the water? What do you think he said? Anyone? He says, I wanted to breathe. He says, I wanted to breathe. And the guru says, when you realize and you want to be successful as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Right? That's what the world teaches. It teaches us this worldly view of what success is. We're going to teach you what God considers to be successful. All right? The world's going to tell you that a lot of you, you're going to have to lose sleep and you're going to have to do all these programs and you're going to be successful. Right? The world teaches you that you need to not go to sleep because if you go to sleep, you might miss the opportunity to be successful. Right? You hear all these YouTube videos and stuff. And the world also teaches, you know, if you spend $995 and buy my program, you could be a millionaire. You guys have all seen those programs, right? On YouTube, what about the YouTube videos? Every time I turn on a YouTube video, I see this, man, you know what these 10 people have in common? They took my program, bought my YouTube channel, and they all make $100,000 a month, and they're successful. You guys have seen those videos, right? Come on, you guys watch YouTube, I know it. You guys have all seen those videos, right? That's what the world teaches. The world teaches that if you give everything up and sacrifice everything you want for your desires, you could be successful. But God has a different opinion and philosophy on that. To be successful as a Christian and to have success with God, we have to be willing to give things up. Sometimes we have to be willing to give up our TV and our friends and our iPhones, right? Because we need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be in prayer. Right? We want to be successful and we want to learn the Word of God. We got to spend time in the Word. We got to come here on Sundays. We got to come here on Wednesdays. We got to bring our friends and we got to stay plugged in the Word. I saw this one guy said, buy my program for 12 easy payments of like $19.99 and you could be the next Donald Trump. We'll teach you how to be a real estate investor. And I just laugh. It's just funny to me, right? But that's what you guys are getting bombarded with every day. So I'm here to show you, I'm here to teach you today that you can have success with God. And it's not going to cost you anything financially. It might cost you something, but financially, it's not going to cost you a penny. All right? If you start spending time in the Word every day, you start spending time in prayer, putting down your phones, putting down your electronics and spending time in the Word. Well, you can read the Bible online on your computer. That's pretty big now on your iPad. Spend time in the Word, and you're going to see how your life is going to get changed. All right? Thomas Edison, he once said, we had a quote from him. He said, if we all did the things we're really capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. If you guys spend time in the Word, you're going to be astounded at what God's going to do for you. So there's 8 keys that we have today, for those of you that are going to take notes, that true success is, are you doing the very best you can with what God has given you? Do you know what God's given you? Any gifts? We'll address those today. The world looks at success, right? They look at it as, what are you driving? What kind of clothes do you wear? What kind of purse do you have? What kind of iPhone do you have? That's what the world is going to judge you, and they're going to say, oh, they're successful because they have those things. But God looks at things totally different. We're going to go into that. Also, we need to know, are we using the gifts that God gave us? Do you know the gifts that God gave you? And if you do, are you using those gifts? Joshua 1:8, if you guys are taking notes, 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I didn't write that. That says you will have good success, right? That's God speaking, saying, follow these commandments I have. Get in your word. Meditate on it day and night, right? 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory of the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is your gift? What has God given to you that you need to share with others? So we're going to go through 8 little points that we taught at youth camp a couple years ago. The kids loved it. So tip number 1 for those of you that are taking notes. Stop comparing yourself to others. All right? That's what we do as teenagers. We compare ourselves to others all the time. Right? Oh, if I could just be as good looking as her, if I could just be as handsome as him, if I could just be like Brad Pitt, right? If I could be all handsome like him. Oh, Brad Pitt's my time, not yours. Right? You're your own person. You have your own uniqueness, right? You guys that are here that know the Lord, you have your own uniqueness. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is like life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Don't compare yourself to others. All right? You are set apart as Christians. You are not to fit in this world. You are to stand out. Okay? So don't compare yourselves to other people. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So that's 1. Stop comparing yourselves to others. 2, stop blaming and judging others. All right, this was especially hard for me when I was growing up, when I was your guys' age in high school. You know, my parents had got divorced, and my dad had moved away. And so my grandfather lived here, and my grandfather and I were really close, and then he passed away. So I was just going through a whole lot of turmoil and stuff in my life. And so I was always blaming others. I was blaming others why I wasn't getting good grades in school. I was blaming others why I was acting out. I was getting in fights at school, right, causing problems. But I was blaming others all the time. But I kept coming to church and kept coming and digging in the Word. And I realized that it was my sin, right? Me blaming others and judging others. But I had sin in my life. So I had to realize, I had a pastor tell me, you know, you got to read the Bible. Get in it. And 1 John 1:9 came. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us. Or I'm sorry, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are verses that I learned as a kid growing up that never left. They just keep getting, you know, I keep memorizing these and they stay in there. We blame others a lot of times when most of the time it's usually us, right? And the Bible's pretty strict on that. Therefore, in Romans, we'll go Proverbs 28:13-14, whoever hides his transgressions will not succeed, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into disaster. Right? Hardening your heart, blaming others, judging others. Romans 2:1, this is a great one. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Right? You've heard that. Don't judge others. You want to judge others, you're going to be judged the same way, right? So that's 2. Stop blaming and judging others. 3, work with all your heart. Work with all your heart. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Give God the same commitment that you give to your school. Give God the same commitment that you give to your sports programs. Right? Work at it with all your heart. And sorry, I'm going through this a little fast. We had to condense like an hour, like what we do at church camp, 45 minutes to an hour. We got to condense it into like 30 minutes. So normally we have some slides. It's a little bit more fun. But we're trying to get through it to give you guys some really good meat here and stuff you can take with you as you get out. And then, you know, just work with all your heart and learn to submit to God. Be a doer, not just a hearer, right? James 1:21-25 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is above, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Right? Be a doer. As you guys are here in church and as you're learning, make sure you're out there sharing the gospel with your friends. Make sure you're out there sharing the gospel with people at your church. Right? We got some really cool coins we're going to give out to you guys. There's people that make them and they hand them out. And there's some on the seats. You guys can take them with you. Hand those out to people. You know, let them know, where are you going to spend eternity? See if they, you know, and share the word with them. Share the gospel with people in your community, at your school. All right? So number three was work with it all your heart, okay? Number four, embrace your uniqueness. This is really good for us as Christians. Because every one of you here, if you are a Christian, you're a believer, you are unique, right? We stand out. You guys know that you don't fit in. I didn't fit in very well, right? You guys know how that is at school. Everyone here is unique and has a purpose. Every one of you in this room. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5 said, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." I mean, how awesome is that? God tells him, I knew you before you were even born. I formed you in your mother's womb. As Christians, man, we are unique. We serve the God of the universe. It's not just the God here in the White Mountains, the God of the universe that created all this. For Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's awesome. He wants to be there for you. He wants you to grow in the word with him. So 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of fine gold or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." So you're unique. You have an inner beauty, and God embraces that, right? That is what's beautiful to God, is your inner beauty, not what you wear, not your hairstyle, not your clothes, not what you drive, but what's beautiful to God is your heart, your soul. Where are you? You know, inside. That's what's important to him. So if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are unique, all right? You guys know that. You guys go to places and they're like, wow, they're weird. Those are those Christian people. They're weird, right? People talk about you. Well, that's okay. I'm going to skip a couple of these because I know we're going to run out of time. We have till what, 11:45-ish? Okay. So some of us struggle to fit in. I know that. Being accepted in the world. But the reason why we're not accepted in the world, because the world hates us, right? As Christians, the world hates us. You've seen it. It's at epidemic proportions. You see Christians getting murdered. You see Christians getting killed over. If you go to Cairo, Egypt, if you have a Bible, they'll kill you, right? There are countries where you can't even own a Bible. You can't even talk about Christ. You can't even talk about Jesus or you'll be killed. They will kill you. So we don't fit in this world. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Right? We're children of God. We're unique. We stand out. But God knows us. The world doesn't know us. They didn't know him, right? So they're not going to know us, and they're going to hate us. That's why it's so important while you're here on Sundays and while you're here on Wednesdays, this is your family in here. This is kind of like your refuge while you're here, right? We shouldn't be like speaking evil of each other or being rude to each other or nasty to each other. This is our refuge. We should be loving each other. We're family here, right? We're brothers and sisters. We should all be getting along and being there for each other. We should be praying with each other, spending time with each other. So that's number four, is embracing your uniqueness, all right? You guys are unique. I want you to understand that. And number five, stop trying to please everyone, your friends, your peers, your classmates. Galatians 1:10 says, For am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul wrote that to the church of Galatia, right? If I'm trying to please man, then I'm not serving Christ. I'm not doing what God has for me because I'm trying to please man. I'm trying to get approval from man. But we don't need approval from man. We need approval from God, right? You need to seek God's approval, not man's approval. 1 Thessalonians 2 through 4 says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who trusts our hearts." Right? God has called us. He's entrusted us the gospel. We should be sharing this with our friends and our family. You know, one of the great experiences I had was I got to share the word of God with my mom. She wasn't saved. And I came to church, and as I started getting through my teen years and through my rebellion, I was able to sit down and speak to my mom, and I got to share the gospel with her. And, you know, and she had mixed emotions about a lot of things, but I was able to sit down, and I know 100% that when my mom dies, she'll go to heaven. That's a good, you know, that's good for me. That's comforting to me, and that's what we should be sharing with our brothers and our sisters and our family. I don't want anyone around me to have to go to hell when they pass away. I want you guys all to be up there in heaven. Like Tony says, he wants to be sitting there, right? Our pastor, he said a couple months ago, he wants to be sitting there cheering you guys on, right? That's what he wants. Number 6, get up after every fall, all right? Get up after every fall. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, in 1879, you guys know who Thomas Edison is, right? The reason why we're able to have lights in here, light up the night. He said, "I found 10,000 ways why a light bulb would not work." He said, "I never failed." So you got to get up. After every fall, you got to get up. You're going to be, people are going to say evil things about you. You're going to fail in sports. You're going to fail in school. But you just got to get up. You got to get up every time. Thomas Edison said 10,000 reasons how not to make a light bulb. I mean, after one or two tries, I'd have been like, "Yeah, I'm not making a light bulb. We're just going to go candles." Right? That would have been me. It is said that a lot of life's experiences and failures, they're experienced by people who didn't realize how close they were to success. A lot of times people get there, man, they get there and they give their all, and they don't make it and they just give up. So I was listening to a story, and this guy said, you know the wealthiest places in the world? Do you know where the wealthiest place in the world is, Ryan? Anyone? Give a shot. It's not the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. It's not the diamond fields in Africa. He said the wealthiest places in the world are in the graveyard. And I was like, wow, the graveyard, that's weird. He said that's where people's dreams have died. He said that's where people's passions, their emotions, he said we never got to read books because people gave up and they died with that book still in them. Their talents, their goals, their ambitions, it died with them. They never got up after they got kicked around. The world beat them up a little. They gave up and they were never able to give what they wanted to give. So a lot of people stop getting up after every fall. You guys got to learn to just get up. You got to get up. You got to be strong. Get in the Word. Get in the Word on Sundays. Get in the Word on Wednesdays. Right? Spend time. We're going to start doing a lot of activities and a lot of events. We need to be there together with each other, all right? And number 7, know your God-given purpose and pursue it with all your heart, all right? Know your God-given purpose and pursue it. Could it be music? Some of you have some musical talent. Could it be singing? Could it be dancing? Could it be communication? Friendship? What is it? It could be a number of things. Work on seeking it and pursuing it. All right? God has called you and is capable of revealing to you your purpose. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Seek God every day. Stay in the Word. Read your Bible daily. Pray daily. I sound like a broken record, huh? Keep saying that over and over because I want you to keep that in your mind. So know your God-given purpose. Pursue it. Come. Make sure you're coming to Bible study. Make sure you're coming on Wednesdays. Bring your friends. I know you guys all have friends. Bring them with you. We'll accept them here. They're all accepted here. Feed on God's Word. Number 8. This is important. This is the most important of all of them. Feed on God's Word, your spiritual food, right? Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Spiritual food. I was reading this article. It was an awesome interview. This guy, he became a Christian later in life. He said he was an older teenager when he accepted Christ. And he said he was so intrigued with the Bible that he read his Bible every day. He actually came up with a little 30-minute how-to and how you could read the Bible in like 6 months to a year, and depending on which one you followed. But he didn't have any money. And he said he grew up poor and he had one Bible his whole life. He had a Bible and he carried it with him everywhere. He said the Bible was falling apart. That he had to glue it together. He had to put pages back in there and tape it all together. And he said one day he got a job interview at this prestigious college. All right, it was this prestigious college, and he was really excited. He didn't have a college degree. He didn't have any Bible teach, any training at a university. And he gets to this college, and he's sitting there, and he said he just took his little duffel bag with him of clothes for the interview because he didn't really have even any money to stay. So he just went there, was going to go to the interview and come home. And he sits in front of the president of the university, and they're talking, and the president says, "Hey, can I see your Bible?" And he was like, "Oh my goodness." So he wrote, he said, "I was so ashamed and so embarrassed because my Bible was literally just tattered and falling apart." So he said he pulled it out of the bag, and he was real nervous, and he handed it to the president of the university. And the president said, "Wow." He said, "That Bible really is a mess." And he said, the president looked at him in the eye and said, "If your Bible is this much of a mess and it's this tattered," he said, "your life isn't." And he hired him on the spot. He gave him the job to teach at a prestigious Bible college, and he never went to Bible school. But because he read his Bible every day, he was in prayer every day, he knew the Bible up and down, front and back, and he's a great Bible teacher. And he learned that. He learned by getting into the Word every day. And he said he was nervous and he was embarrassed. You know, he handed this Bible, and the president said, "Man, that's exactly what we're looking for." The kid that drove the fancy car, that had the suit, that had all the college degrees, they didn't hire him. The one that went to university, he's not the one that got the job. The one that was in the Word every day, which of who had a Bible that was tattered and torn, that's the one that they had the university hired. It was an amazing story. So it's kind of like feeding on the Word. It's kind of like junk food, right? Have you guys ever ate so much junk food where you felt sick and then like 30 minutes later you're like, "Man, I'm really hungry"? Have any of you done that? Every one of you, right? You eat soda, right? You eat a bunch of junk, and 30 minutes later, it happens with me with Chinese food. I don't know why. And I'm like, I haven't eaten in 6 months, right? That's how I feel. But what happens is your body's starving for nutrients, right? You're starving. You gave it a bunch of candy, a bunch of sugar, and a lot of things start failing. You're focused. That's why they don't want soda in school, because you get these sugar highs, and you're up and down. You can't focus. We're ruly or unruly. We're obnoxious. And so they don't want to have soda in the schools. They want to have good nutrients, right, for you, because they know how rambunctious you are and kind of trouble you guys cause. But what happens is you're not getting proper nutrients. It's the same way with your spiritual food, right? Getting fed daily. If you want to satisfy your spiritual hunger, you have to come to church on Sundays. You got to be here on Wednesdays. You got to be in your Word. You got to be learning and reading, spending time in the Word every day. You got to make sure that you guys keep coming to Bible study. Right, Adam and Eve, they had what was called the spoken word of God, right? God spoke to them, right? But he gave us the written word of God. He didn't give us this Bible so he could rule over us. He didn't say, "Here's the Bible, you're going to do what I tell you to do." No, he gave us this Bible so we could learn and we could succeed as Christians. That's why we have this Bible. And then what's going to happen is people are going to come into your life and they're going to say, "Oh my goodness, that Bible, how do you know it's real? How do you know this Bible's real? It was written by man," right? They're going to tell you that it was written by man. And that's true, it was. It was written by man, but it was inspired by God. It was God-breathed. And there's a great illustration that we use at camp, and there's this gentleman called Bing Tom. He's out of Canada. He's a world-famous architect, and he builds the most amazing buildings you'll ever see in your life. Some of the craziest architecture I've ever seen. You can look him up. His name's Bing. His last name is spelled T-H-O-M. And so the illustration is used where he's the architect, right? Have you ever seen an architect actually out there putting up the brick and the mortar and out there on equipment with a tractor? No. The architect is the one that had the design and had the idea. And then he gave it to qualified people. Those qualified people went out and they built a building. That's what God did with the Bible. People are going to say, "Oh man, that God, he doesn't exist. The Bible's written by man." He did. He qualified people. He spoke to them. They wrote it down for us to have. All right, so remember, God gave us the Bible so we can succeed. He didn't give it to just inform us, but he gave it to us to transform us. All right, we're going to be transformed. So 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed." Some say all scripture is inspired by God, but I like the version that says it's God breathed. God breathed that. He didn't give it, so it's God breathed and he's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He gave this to us so we could read it every day and we could be in it praying. So we're getting close to being done with time here. So what we'll do is we're gonna end up singing a song. We're going to do a song on the video here, and we're going to pray. And then if you don't know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, if you guys have a doubt, just come up here and pray with us. We'll pray with you. We'll show you in the Bible right here how you can have that eternal salvation. All right? So you want to sing. Does anyone want to close us in a word of prayer? Anybody? You guys are quiet. All right, go ahead.